This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra, by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
How do you measure success? Chances are productive fields, a happy family, and a secure future are key parts in the equation. And just as you depend on yourself to take care of the family and farm, you can depend on Farm Credit to help you with your finance needs. For 96 years, we've been helping farm families and agribusinesses maintain the formula for success. Our experience has helped us develop a wide range of credit and financial products and services that you can use to keep your farm running more efficiently and profitably. Nobody understands the financial needs of farming better than Farm Credit. Whether it's farm real estate loans, operating lines of credit, equipment financing, or crop insurance, Farm Credit has the products and services to meet the needs of today's farming operations. Call Farm Credit today at 1-800-444-FARM or find us online at fcsillinois.com. Farm Credit, providing the financial products farmers want with the service you deserve.
Total Confidence pricing is going on right now at Smokey Jennings Chevrolet, and if you don't love it, you can return it. Pre-owned inventory is low, and they're giving top dollar for trade-ins, or they'll buy your vehicle from you, only until September 4th at Smokey Jennings Chevrolet in Palmyra, where they're not just about trucks, they're about community. Since 1946, tax, title, license, and dealer fees extra. Go to ChevyConfidence.com for full details and restrictions. Purchase a 2012 vehicle by September 4th. Not available with some other offers.
Fall is busy. Get ready with a set of new Bridgestone tires and a little something in return. Now when you buy four select Bridgestone tires, you could receive a $70 American Express Rewards card or Wii system by mail. This fall, it's game on with Bridgestone. Offer valid August 24th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems are given away on behalf of Bridgestone Americas. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply. Taylor Tire and Auto at the west end of Tyler Avenue in Litchfield.
6:11 on this Wednesday morning, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, September wheat now trading at 867 and three quarter, up 13. December wheat trading at 889, up 13 and a half. September corn now trading at 798 and a quarter, up 8 and three quarter. December corn trading at 803 and three quarter, up 8 and a quarter. September soybeans now trading at 1745 and a quarter, up 12 and three quarter. November beans trading at 1734 and a half. That's up 12 and a quarter. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, September wheat closed at 854 and three quarter, down 7 and a quarter. December wheat closed at 875 and a half, down 5 and three quarter. March wheat closed at 886 and a half, down 5 and a half. September corn yesterday closed at 789 and a half, down a nickel. December corn closed at 795 and a half, down 5 and a quarter. March corn closed at 796 and a half, also down a nickel. September beans yesterday closed at 1732 and a half, up 23 and a quarter. November beans, up 2 and 3 quarter. November beans closed at 1722 and a quarter, up 3.5. January beans closed at 1714 and a half, up 3.25. September soybean meal yesterday closed at 534.20, up 240. October meal closed at 525.90, up 240. December meal closed at 521.80, up 310. September soybean oil yesterday closed at 55.73, down 18. October oil closed at 55.95, down 18. December oil closed at 56.39, down 17. September oats yesterday closed at 374, down a nickel. December oats closed at 382 and a half. That was down 4.5. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the cash grain report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Grain Market News Report. The Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Tuesday afternoon, with soybeans mostly higher and corn and wheat lower. Soybean values were supported by the announcement from the USDA with the sale of 110,000 metric tons of U.S. soybeans to China for 2012-2013 delivery. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 3 to 5 cents lower at $7.80 to $8 even, while the soybean bids ended mixed at $17.03 to $17.28. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mostly 3 to 6 cents weaker at $7.99 to $8.19, while the soybean bids were also mixed at $17.44 to $17.68. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were down 4 to 5 cents at $8.07 to $8.29. Soybean bids again ended mixed at $17.07 to $17.67, and the wheat bids down 11 to 16 at $8.23 to $8.46. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer quarter mids 19 to 26 cents lower at $7.65 to $7.82. Soybean bids ended steady to 3 cents weaker at $17.33 to $17.38. And the new crop wheat bids for July 13 delivery ended 2 cents lower at $7.97 to $8.07. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 4 to 7 cents lower at $7.75 to $7.83. These same elevators place their soybean prices steady to 6 cents lower, with quotations at $17.33 to $17.48. Soft red winter wheat dropped 18 cents at $8.24 to $8.25, while the Milo ended steady at $7.05 to $7.06. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. New crop corn bids range from $7.67 up to $7.80. New crop soybean bids range from $16.91 to $17 even. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids, they range from $7.81 to $8.09. New crop soybean bids at $17.03 to $17.22. In southern Illinois, new crop corn bids range from $7.66 to $8.24, new crop soybean bids at $17.11 to $17.38, and new crop wheat bids for delivery in July 13, those bids range from $7.88 up to $8.17. That is our country grain report for Tuesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, October hogs closed at 73.25 unchanged. December hogs closed at 70.75 down 30. And February hogs closed at 78.75 down a quarter. August cattle yesterday closed at 118.82 up 42. October cattle closed at 123.75 up 28. December cattle closed at 127.27 up 2 cents. August feeder cattle yesterday closed at 140.30 up 3. September feeders closed at 143.60 up 95. October feeders closed at 144.47 up 55. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the cash livestock market report.
The closing livestock reports for Tuesday, August 28th. For the Eastern Corn Belt daily direct hogs, barrels and gills closed $1.40 lower. Carcass base price range of 75.67 to 78, weighted average 77 and a quarter. Hogs purchased Illinois today, 14,400. Illinois direct barrel and gilt trade $4 lower at 50 to 55, with Illinois direct slaughter sows 1 to 3 lower. U.S. 1s to 3s under 400 pounds and 400 to 450 pounds at 33 to 38. 450 to 550 pounds at 36 to 40. Over 550 pounds at 37 to 40, with a few up to 42. Today's estimated receipts, 1,150, and Monday's actuals, 700. Pork carcass cutout, 83.26, that is down $1.46. The estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection, hogs for today, 431,000. Last week, 423,000. A year ago, 416,000. Week to date of 863,000. Cattle for today, 127,000. Last week, 130,000. A year ago, 127,000. Week to date of 253,000. Box beef cutout values were steady to week on light demand and light to moderate offerings. Total movement today, 110 fab loads with 26 trim. Choice, 191.91, down 7 cents. Select at 181.94, and that is down 23 cents. At the United Producers Auction over at Shelbyville, estimated receipts this morning, 385. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers were trading steady to 50 cents higher, with Holstein steers a dollar higher. Steers, choice 2s to 3s, 116 to 120 and a half. Select and choice 2s and 3s, 110 and a quarter to 115. Holstein steers, choice 2s to 3s, were ranging from 109 and a quarter to 113 and a half. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s, 115 to 119 and a half. with select and choice 2s and 3s trading at 114.5 to 115. Monday at the Arthur Hay Auction, 736 bales sold. Compared to last week, small squares of hay and wheat straw traded 75 cents to $1 higher. Alfalfa, premium quality, small squares at $7.25 to $10, with good quality at $5.25. Mixed grass, good quality small squares at $5.50 to $8.25. Large squares, 3x3s at $75. Large rounds, 4x5s at $75 to $80. And wheat straw, good quality small squares at $3.60. At the United Producers Hay Auction this morning, 432 bales sold. Compared to last week, hay sold $1.50 to $2 lower. All prices for small squares on a per bale basis. Alfalfa premium quality at $5.50, good quality at $5. Alfalfa orchard grass mix, good quality $4, with mixed grass, good quality at from $3 to $4.25. Thank you. This is Kim Harmon with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Livestock Grain Market News Service.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday for butter, 182, up 1.75. For block cheese, 185.25, unchanged. For barrel cheese, 180, down 0.25. The spot price for Class 3 milk ending yesterday, 1906. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for August, 807. For September, 786. Corn delivered to Scottville for August, 807, and for September, 786. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for August, 1704. For September, 1699. And wheat delivered to Scottville for August, 805. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices again, corn at Greenfield and Scottville, 807. Beans at Scottville or Greenfield, 1704. Wheat at Scottville, 805. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Wednesday morning, brought to you by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra, by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
Who else provides a partner in crop production like M&M Service Company? The fact is, with your M&M crop specialist working with you throughout the entire year, you have the unique advantage of combining quality seed with expert agronomic knowledge know-how. As a true business partner, you can rely on your M&M Service crop specialist to help you reduce risks, make smarter decisions, improve profits, and just make the whole business of farming easier. So, for a production partner that can bring solutions that work in your fields, get a hold of your M&M Service Company crop specialist today. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Our local weather forecast for today calls for sunny skies with a high temperature in the low 90s and light southeast winds. Tonight, mostly clear, low temperatures in the mid-60s. For tomorrow, Thursday, sunny skies, the high in the mid-90s. Your extended forecast for Friday through Sunday, becoming cloudy with a day-to-day chance of rain, low temperatures in the mid to the upper 60s, high temperatures in the mid-80s. Right now at the Weather Center, the winds are calm, the barometric pressure is steady. Clear skies, 57 degrees on this Wednesday morning. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is yours next.
The YOV Theater in vibrant downtown Edwardsville, Illinois is just 20 minutes from downtown St. Louis and worth the trip. The YOV is the most intimate venue for live music in the entire metro area, seating just over 300 people, with adult beverages available. Friends, if you've not been there, you need to plan a visit for upcoming shows and dinner at one of the many fine dining establishments downtown. Call 618-307-1750 or go to YOVtheater.com to review upcoming concerts. The YOV Theater, if you go there once, you'll be there twice.
Time now for part two of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. First of all, on the Farm Show today, here's our weekly crop condition report. We join Brad Schwab of the Illinois Agricultural Statistics Service.
Temperatures averaged a near normal 73.7 degrees, while rainfall accumulations came up well short of normal, with only a tenth of an inch being reported statewide for the seven-day period ending Sunday, August 26. There were a total of 6.2 days suitable for field work, and topsoil moisture supplies came in at 57% very short, 30% short, and 13% adequate. Subsoil moisture below the 6-inch profile was reported at 74% very short, 22% short, and 4% adequate. Growing degree day units since May 1 came in at 2,636, or 205 heat units ahead of the historic average. Corn in the dense stage was reported at 91%, compared to 67% 1 year ago and 56% for the 5-year average. 44% was reported in the mature stage, and this compares to 8% 1 year ago and 10% for the 5-year average. Corn harvest progress now stands at 6%, compared to 1% last year and for the 5-year averages. The crop reporting district leading the state in the corn harvest category were the West Southwestern and the Southwestern districts, reporting 17%. Overall, the state's corn crop condition was rated in a disappointing 43% very poor, 35% poor, 18% fair, and only 4% as good. Soybeans setting pods advanced to 97%, compared to 95% a year ago and 92% for the 5-year average. 20% of the crop was turning yellow, compared to 7% last year and for the 5-year averages. The crop reporting district leading the state in the soybean turning yellow category was the East Southeastern District, reporting 32%. Overall, the state's soybean crop was rated in 25% very poor, 26% poor, 38% fair, and 11% good. In other crops around the state, pastures continue to be rated in very poor condition. The third cutting of alfalfa was reported at 87%, and this can be compared to 80% last year and 76% for the 5-year average. The sorghum crop, that is coloring, reached 60%, which compares to 55% 1 year ago and 45% for the 5-year average. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
An ag economist recently suggested that producers sell their crop from the field directly to the local elevator to save storage costs and to avoid prices falling when the South American crops come in early next spring. We talked to Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions, and he comments on the strategy.
Well, that depends on the situation, I guess. You know, if you've got aflatoxin, that would be the case, if you do not want to store that. So we have heard a lot of that out there, so I don't know what the main premise behind that is. One thing to consider, though, is, you know, what we saw this past year with the old crop corn, meaning from last year, is a significant increase or strengthening of the basis, the cash basis. And if the futures do the work versus the cash basis, you know, you could be better off really in both ways. My question to, you know, a lot of producers is going to be, what do you think basis could be next spring or summer, given the disaster that we've had this year? There could be a lot of fall delivery corn. People are going to have to meet their contracts. And the fact that people have to sell a certain amount if they don't have enough storage, there's still going to be a little bit of a harvest glut, whatever is left out there still in the field. But then come next spring and summer, the basis could be significantly stronger than it is right now. And, you know, I don't know that we can replenish a corn supply between now and next spring, as opposed to the bean crop, where you could have a lot of production coming out of South America. So I don't know if I totally agree with that. You know, I still think this market has some rationing to do. The timing of that, though, is impossible to say. Is it going to be this winter? Is it going to be in October when the combines finally roll and we realize this crop may be worse off? We are rationing to a certain extent right now, but I just don't know if it's enough. I think one thing that's held this market back here the last couple of days, maybe even towards the tail end of last week, is just the sheer lack of participants. It's been very, very thin volume. We've actually seen almost as much or more volume in soybeans as we have with corn, and that is unheard of. So there are a lot of different opinions and perspectives out there, but I think it has to get down to what's right for your operation, and I don't think a broad-based recommendation is right for anybody.
Well, she says, this economist says, that to stave on storage costs is one of the reasons why farmers should take it straight from the field to the elevator.
Well, and that is justified to a certain extent because we don't have any carry in the market. So the market's not going to pay a producer to store his crop, but you may get paid in the basis rather than carry with that. So if a guy has on-farm storage, that's one thing. If you're storing it in the elevator, that's a totally different aspect of that. I would always err on the side of not going along with the elevator storage because you do pay those storage costs. And unless you have that carry in the market, there's really nothing to make up for that aside from just the market itself. And if you think the market can do that, then maybe it pays off, but it may not as well.
We continue our farmer checks on WSMI. On Tuesday, we talked to Kevin Neiman of North Litchfield Township. He said that they just started shelling corn.
Oh, I just got started yesterday. We're probably got 60 acres out so far.
What is the test? Have you got a grasp on that yet?
Oh, I don't know. It's corn pretty dry, around 15, 15 to 17%. So, it's on dry side, probably not necessarily a good thing for August 28th, but it's that's the way it is.
Yep, that's how it's going to be this year. Is the test weight okay too?
Yeah, test weight. I think we took a couple loads down. The test weight's been running the mid 50s, I think 56, something like that. So, but that test weight's been okay. So, which I thought maybe it might be a little less, but it's hanging in there.
You might get a little relief this weekend. They're talking from the hurricane. We might get a couple of inches of rain. That wouldn't exactly break your heart, would it?
Oh, I don't think so. I think we'll take it as we can get it. It's still, most of these beans around here are still green, so I think it's gonna help them some. So, we'll see. You know, those hurricanes, it was supposed to come in Florida last weekend, I think. So. Who knows what it'll do.
That's about right. I was just about to ask you about your bean crop. You're probably several days away from getting to that, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I said most of them are still green, yes. So I'd say we're a good 30 days away from most of it. So, this late rain's got to help them. So, I think, on the bean side of things that we might have some decent beans.
Kevin, I was wanted to ask you about something. The way things have gone this year, is sowing a little more wheat in your plans for later on this fall?
Well, actually, my rotation's not going to work out. I probably won't plant any wheat, to be honest with you. I don't know if I've ever not planted any, but just the way the rotation's working out, I'm probably not going to plant any. But I think I've been hearing a lot of guys talk about planting wheat. So I think, especially in southern Illinois where those guys didn't have much crop, I think that they're going to get something in the ground, maybe take advantage of some of that nitrogen that they applied this spring, and is what some of the thought was there too, and the fertilizer and whatnot.
That was North Litchfield Township farmer Kevin Neiman. United States pork exports were up slightly over the first 6 months of the year compared to previous years, and from the United States Meat Export Federation, Joe Shealy reports.
U.S. pork exports were up 5% in volume in the first half of the year and 13% in value. USMEF economist Aaron Borer says most major pork exporters saw growth in the first half of the year, though not necessarily as strong as the U.S.
In the first half of the year, pork exports for the main supplying countries remained quite robust, even though the supply situation globally has changed fairly dramatically in that China and Korea have seen larger pork production so far this year after significant decreases in 2011. But at the same time, we've seen really strong exports. For example, EU exports through May were up 8% to around $3 billion worth. For Canada, exports during the first half were up 4% to about $1.5 billion. Brazil has seen export growth as well. So we actually have data through July, and their exports were up 3%. Brazil has actually seen about a 40% drop to Russia, their top market. They've so far mostly been able to offset that with growth to Ukraine and Hong Kong and some other markets. But, of course, Brazilian producers are also feeling further pinch from higher corn and soybean prices as we're seeing that ripple around the world.
Borer says matching last year's results will be tougher in the second half of the year, not because exports will slow, but because of the surge in demand we saw late last year from markets such as China and Korea.
The U.S. is still holding about a third of export market share for the main pork exporters, and that's pretty consistent with where we were in the first half of last year. So the U.S. is definitely holding their own, and I think that we'll see a bit of a change in the year-over-year comparisons as we move into the second half of the year. We expect those comparisons to be a bit more challenging through the second half.
For more on this and other trade issues, please visit usmef.org.
In other farm news, how well will a kid do in school if all they're thinking about is their growling stomach? American Farm Bureau Federation Farm Policy Specialist Kelly Ludlam says new standards for the school lunch program are making that a concern for students and parents. The American Farm Bureau Federation's Jonna Miller has more.
With the start of the new school year, there's concern some kids may be feeling hunger pains due to the first changes to the National School Lunch Program in 15 years.
there are new maximum requirements for the amount of protein and the overall calorie content of school lunches. There have always been minimum requirements for calorie, protein, and other nutrients, but now there are maximums as well. And it appears that those maximums, while potentially looking good on paper, really aren't meeting the needs of particularly junior high and high school students that have a higher caloric requirement, especially for those that are active in after-school sports.
American Farm Bureau Farm Policy Specialist Kelly Ludlam says the changes are part of the Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act, which Congress passed 2 years ago. She says there are positive aspects of the standards, like offering more fresh fruits and vegetables and reducing saturated fat, trans fats, and sodium.
The effort was actually well-intentioned. There was a real concern about the growing problem of childhood obesity and type 2 diabetes. So in an effort to solve that problem, Congress instructed the U.S. Department of Agriculture to look at childhood obesity and try to address that problem through the school lunch program. The problem is that in trying to solve childhood obesity for some, you actually starve some of the more active children, particularly those at the higher age groups.
Ludlam says she won't be surprised if USDA takes another look at the new standards because many parents are complaining that the school lunches are leaving their kids hungry.
I've heard stories from friends and coworkers about having to pack a lunch for their child in addition to the school lunch. These are especially important for young people that are active in after-school sports that just aren't having their caloric needs met for not only a long afternoon of classes, but possibly a couple of hours of sports practice on top of that.
Jonna Miller, Washington.
Some other notes in the news on this Wednesday morning. The corn harvest in the United States is moving at the fastest pace ever, with nearly 6% of the crop harvested as of Sunday. Nearly 26% of the crop is rated mature, up 10% from the week before. Across the United States, nearly 22% of the crop is rated good to excellent, down 1% from last week and 54% from last year. For soybeans, 30% is rated good to excellent compared to 31% the week before. The United States Department of Agriculture says 8% of the plants are dropping leaves, up from 4% from the week before, and the five-year average. Still, crop ratings are the worst for this time of the year since 1988. Last week, the U.S. Drought Monitor reported nearly 51% of the Midwest in moderate to exceptional drought, down 15% from last week and up 9.5% from last year. U.S. gasoline futures rose while crude oil prices fell as refineries along the Gulf Coast began to cease operations ahead of Tropical Storm Isaac, and fuel traders brace for the possibility of gasoline shortages. Gasoline futures for September delivery settled 7.68 cents higher at $3.1548 a gallon on the New York Mercantile Exchange. And contaminated gasoline from a BP refinery has so far led to about 6,500 claims from motorists trying to recoup hundreds of dollars they spent for automobile repairs. The company recalled 2.1 million gallon of gasoline from its refinery in Whiting, Indiana, last week. And once again, Tropical Storm, now Hurricane Isaac, may bring more rain to states impacted by the drought along the Mississippi River Valley. But experts don't expect it will eliminate the Midwest drought, though it may ease it somewhat. The National Weather Service predicts 2 to 6 inches of rain will fall in eastern Arkansas, southeast Missouri, and southern Illinois, areas among those hit hardest by the drought. National Weather Service hydrologist Marty Pope says heavy rain could provide relief for low water conditions hampering traffic along the Mississippi River, which could help quite a bit. Those rains could help the river rise, clearing clogged shipping channels, which have caused companies to reduce barge loads of goods from grain to gasoline. Once again, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, September wheat now trading at 867 and a quarter, up 12 and a half. December wheat trading at 809, up 13 and a half. September corn now trading at 798 and a quarter, up 8 3/4. December corn trading at 804, up 8 1/2. September soybeans now trading at 1747 and a half, up 15. November beans trading at 1736 and a half, up 14 1/4. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on WSMI, WSMI FM 106. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau.